The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a happier, happy hour indeed, live from the DNC, the United Center in Chicago.
Good job, Dom.
We got a fine guest who's joining us at the table right now. He's the Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin, our friend Josh Call. Welcome back, Josh.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Josh. Good to see
you,
man.
Well, thanks for being patient and working us in. You know, you political sorts. What do you do here at a convention? I know it's your first, but what have you done here, Josh?
Yeah, well, it's been, first, it's been great. You know, there is incredible energy and enthusiasm among Democrats around the country. I knew there was in Wisconsin, and it's clear that it is around the country because of all the excitement behind the Harris-Walz ticket. But it's been great to connect with folks who, you know, I've seen some of my fellow AGs from around the country, a lot of folks from Wisconsin and other states. There's been a lot of discussion about policy issues. You know, last night we heard from some women from some states where access to abortion was being blocked and the impact it had on them. We've, of course, heard from a lot of candidates about their vision for the next administration and for the future. So it's a good opportunity to connect with people, to talk about issues, and to organize behind the Harris-Walz campaign.
Well, the attorney general job doesn't always get the same prominence as, let's say, a governor. But since Kamala Harris has been the new nominee, suddenly the AG is in vogue, isn't it?
Well, you know, Bill Clinton is a former AG also. But
that was a long time ago, Josh.
I don't think he served very long as AG either. But, you know, look, first of all, I think one of the things that you've seen in this race is that her background as an AG and as a DA has played a key role in her success. She is litigating the case against Donald Trump, and it couldn't be a clearer contrast between the two of them. On top of that, you know, as an AG, I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of people who are themselves are former AGs who served with her. And for years, I've known that her colleagues hold her in the highest regard and think incredibly highly of her. And let's be honest, she did not always get the best press when she was vice president. Neither did Joe Biden, by the way. And it was always interesting to me that what I had heard from her colleagues and what I had seen in the interactions that I had had with her was so different from what was portrayed in the press. She was outgoing. She was engaging. She was engaged in issues substantively. And actually, just before the Dobbs decision came down overturning Roe, she brought several AGs around the country together, including me, to talk to us about what we were doing to prepare if Roe was overturned and how we could protect reproductive freedom in our states. She's somebody who was seeing where this was going and wanted to make sure she was available to help and to engage people. It turned out that was the day before the Dobbs decision was issued. And as you know, we lost access to safe and legal abortion in Wisconsin for 15 months. We fought back against that, and we've now restored it. But she was actually back in Wisconsin in August of 2022, you know, working just in advance of the elections there, and she talked about that issue and how she had our back in that case. This is somebody who's been engaged, and what's been great over the last month is to see the whole country see her through the same lens that I had in the work that I've done and through conversations. She's a leader. She's ready to lead this country. She's running an outstanding campaign, and I think we're going to see this energy continue for the next 2.5 months.
Folks, we've got Josh Call, the fine Attorney General, great state of Wisconsin here, Devil's Advocates, live at the DNC. I think I first got to meet Kamala Harris. She was Senator Harris then. She came to Wisconsin in 2018, and maybe she campaigned for you, Tony Evers, and Tammy Baldwin, if I recall. But I got to meet her and interview her briefly, and I found her to be very intense. I had never interviewed someone that had that much intensity for a 3-minute interview. Personally, I think the characterizations I've seen on Fox News and right-wing talk radio are ludicrous. In no way is she anything other than this intense, intelligent human being. But what's your personal experience, Josh?
100% consistent with what you're saying. And I'll, you know, I mentioned the example about how she brought folks together. I'll give you another example. I met with her on the tarmac several months ago, and there was an issue that was important to public safety in Wisconsin, which is that we're facing significant cuts in what's called VOCA funding, Victim of Crime Act funding. That provides a lot of the resources for victim service programs, programs that help people who are victims of domestic violence or sexual assault or other crimes get the support that they need as they work through the justice system or not, but getting the support that they need. So I raised that with her, and she immediately said, oh, yeah, I know about that program. I worked with it when I was AG. Well, I saw her about a month later at another tarmac meeting, and I'd wanted to follow up with her, but she was prepared. She had done some follow-up. She knew what was going on federally, wanted to talk about it, and made clear that she knew how important that issue was. It's another good example of her being on top of the issues. And I just to put this in perspective, I want you to imagine Donald Trump in that same situation. Now, there is no chance that Donald Trump knows that program exists. If he did, he certainly wouldn't be following up. He might be wondering how he could profit off of it, just based on how he approaches everything else. But this is somebody who is prepared to lead and who's got the experience that we need in the White House.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Josh Call, Wisconsin's Attorney General, joining us at the desk in Chicago at the DNC. Josh, thanks for making some time for us. The vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, is in Kenosha talking about crime. And I think this is something you know a little bit about, Josh. My understanding, if it wasn't for the actions of the president at the time, Donald Trump, Kenosha would be nothing more than a pile of smoldering ashes. Crime has been a topic of conversation pushed from the right. But my understanding, Josh, and how about you tell me, a lot of the crime statistics have gone down under this administration.
You know, it's a funny thing. When you get rid of chaos leading the country like we had under Donald Trump, it has a big impact. But first, let me say this. You know, we talked a little bit about Kamala Harris's background before. This is somebody who was a DA in a major county prosecuting serious crimes. She was the AG of the largest state in the country, and she held people who committed mortgage fraud accountable and worked to recover resources. She is somebody who knows public safety issues. She's a former prosecutor. And then on the other hand, you had J.D. Vance in Milwaukee last Friday, and when he was talking about public safety, he suggested people watch the movie Gangs of New York. So on the one hand, you've got a former prosecutor, and on the other hand, you've got a ticket with one guy who's seen Gangs of New York and another guy who's seen Silence of the Lambs and can't stop talking about it. It's pretty obvious which ticket is better on public safety, but you don't just need to rely on that. Look at the statistics, as you said. When Donald Trump was president, shootings and homicides went up dramatically. Now, that was partly because of the pandemic, there's no question, but Donald Trump wasn't helping with the pandemic, and his budgets consistently attacked funding for public safety. Republicans right now are attacking funding for public safety in Congress. With Biden-Harris, we've seen a drop in shootings, a historic drop in homicides, and investment in public safety, often trying to battle with Republicans in Congress. And so, you know, having that kind of leadership with Biden-Harris has made a big difference. And then last, as I mentioned at the beginning, having leadership that's steady and consistent and reliable, that helps. Having somebody who is volatile and unpredictable and attacks the justice system and the Department of Justice and the FBI whenever they do something that he doesn't like for political reasons, that's not good for the rule of law and it's not good for public safety.
Josh, election safety. We know that Donald Trump has, in fact, attacked the outcome of the last election.
Continues to do so.
We know there have been some charges filed, and I know you probably aren't going to, unless you would like to talk about an open investigation, Mr. Attorney General, but I assume no. But here's my question, sir. How do we protect the next election? Because every indication is he didn't learn anything. There's been no successful prosecution, no trial going to happen between now and Election Day. Josh, how do we, A, keep election workers, even Megan Wolf, safe in the state, and B, what's the role of the Attorney General in making sure things go well from a non-chaotic point of view this fall?
Yeah, well, first, let's talk about Donald Trump. Donald Trump.
Or those investigations, if you'd like, Mr. Attorney General.
Let's focus on Donald Trump. So, you know, he said that an Emmy he didn't, and I forget if it was that he didn't get nominated or he didn't win, but he said that was rigged. You know, when he lost the Iowa caucus to Ted Cruz, he said that was rigged. He said the 2016 election was going to be rigged, and then he won it, and he still kept saying it was rigged. And then in 2020, he said it was rigged. So I think we know where this is headed with Donald Trump. But here's the good news. In 2020, there was a real concerted effort to overturn the results of our election. There was also a lot of concern before the election that there would be voter intimidation at the polls. So we made clear what the law is on voter intimidation, and it's a crime. We made clear that people are going to be held accountable if they tried to intimidate people, because that's our constitutional right we're talking about, and every voter who's eligible should be able to freely and fairly cast a ballot. We're also going to make clear as we head into this election that intimidating election officials, threatening election officials, can be a crime. And if people commit that crime, if they cross the line, they're going to be held accountable. Now, on the post-election, we're prepared for the attacks. We had an effort to overturn the results in 2020. There were several lawsuits filed. My administration defended against those suits, and we won every single case, just like cases across the country were won. If Donald Trump and his allies try to overturn the results again, or if anybody else does, but I think we know who's likely to be doing it, we're going to defend the results again, and I'm confident that the will of the voters will be upheld again, because the facts and the law are going to speak for themselves. And, you know, what's interesting is we have a lot of elections in Wisconsin. We don't just have presidential elections. We just had a primary. Nobody's going around saying the results can't be trusted or our system doesn't work. There are Republicans who lost primaries, because the reality is we all know the system works. If it's a few hundred vote difference, maybe you do a recount and you see if there's a small change. But fundamentally, the system works. And it's only when Donald Trump is on the scene that people are complaining. So if you hear Republicans saying the system doesn't work, where have they been for the last 4 years? Why haven't they been challenging these results?
Well, the system only works when they get elected and they win, even if it's the same election they're saying the president didn't win. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they just got clobbered on a couple amendments, yeah, and they're not challenging those results because those are the results that the voters voted for.
Are you sure there wasn't anything untoward in that Janelle Branchon race? Because she only lost by, like, 30 points.
Even Janelle Branchon, I don't think, has said that there was anything wrong in that race. She certainly said a lot about Trump election.
I guess everything has been fixed then.
There you go.
Josh Call, the very fine Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin, friend of ours. Josh, I hope you enjoy your Democratic convention right here in Chicago. Don't forget the Devil's Advocates. We'll be partying until late, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Josh. More Devil's Advocates. We've got the president of the AFL-CIO joining us next. I hope you stick around.
When they go low, we get high. Oh. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live from the DNC in Chicago, the United Center at the table with Crudy. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Of course, make sure you check out the socials at Devil Radio on Twitter and the Devil's Advocates Radio on the Facebooks.
Dom, we are live here at the DNC. Just had a fine guest, our Attorney General in the great state of Wisconsin, Josh Call, and he was showing us his sense of humor after the interview. He said, you know, you're the first one ever to ask me about
can you confirm or
ongoing
deny
investigations?
A sealed indictment against Senator Ron Johnson.
He would not. He would not.
Hey, man, he's got to ask.
We've got to ask. He does not have to answer, but we appreciate you, Josh. Thanks for coming around, man. We're expecting Liz Schuler from the AFL-CIO, president thereof. Hopeful that she'll be joining us here shortly, Dom. And don't forget, we're doing the coverage all night long right here on the Civic Media Network. We'll be doing it on WCPT 820 AM out of Chicago and KTNF 950 AM out of Minneapolis. But the encouraging part, Bill Press joining us in the 7 o'clock hour tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Our good friend Bill Press going to be at the table for an hour straight. And then Patty Vasquez is going to join us 8 to 10. We've got a Kamala Harris rally in Milwaukee. We'll try to dip in and bring you some of the sound of that. And, of course, we got Barack and Michelle Obama, second gentleman Doug Emhoff, Got a lot of big speeches tonight. You're going to have to tune in all night long. Devils Advocates doing it as only we can, Dom. But earlier today, I was monitoring the affairs in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And J.D. Vance did a little presser in Kenosha.
He's been in Wisconsin quite a bit here on the stalker tour.
Well, Kamala Harris is there. He's there stalking her in Kenosha. And, Rich, going to need your help back in the mothership if you could. Let's start with a little bit of the J.D. Vance sound. Rich, if you'd be so kind, let's play the first of the Vance sound bites, please.
Kamala Harris is going to run the campaign that she runs. I would say that I wish that she would do what I'm doing right now, which is talk to the media and actually answer some tough questions.
Now, did you hear the crowd?
I did hear a crowd.
There was a peanut gallery in Kenosha. It was so weird. It was like
was it a press conference or a...
Well, there were press, and he actually did allow, J.D. Vance did allow local press from the state of Wisconsin. I'm like, I wish I was there, because I might ask a tough question. Oh, J.D., how important is Wisconsin to your campaign? You know, you got to ask the question, but if you only get one, that wouldn't be mine. But anyways, it was weird because J.D. Vance would answer the questions, but you could also hear, like, the reaction of the crowd in the background. And at one point, he was asked, what'd you think of the DNC last night? And the crowd booed. And then he said, yeah, my sentiments exactly. Boo! let's play a little bit more of the Republicans' couch-loving second mate, J.D. Vance. Play it for the people. Union voters, cut five.
If we don't tell people what to do, they're going to be able to buy cars that are made in America with American workers doing the jobs. And that is why I think we're going to win the majority of union and non-union workers in this country.
Think of the irony of sitting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, talking about the fact that, what, Trump's going to save jobs? I would just yell at him, Foxconn, what about Foxconn? Wasn't that going to be the eighth wonder of the world?
He said it. They were out there digging holes with golden shovels.
They were.
Golden toilet.
Indeed. Digging holes with the golden shovels. Supposed to be the eighth wonder of the world. But when they talk about it, because J.D. Vance's implication was, they've offshored so many Wisconsin manufacturing jobs to China, but that's not going to happen under Trump. And didn't he come in to office, Trump, promising, what, Carrier air conditioning? Well, you're not going to lose any more jobs
by
now
the
that I'm the president.
Plant. He promised that he would save
freaking
the plant.
Freaking closed anyways.
Yeah.
So tariffs didn't exactly solve all the world's problems. It wasn't a panacea for everything that ailed the economy.
I mean, tariffs are paid by the consumers, the American consumer.
Oh, slow down.
I mean, I'd hate to tell you how it actually works.
Ron Johnson said just yesterday it's really a way to punish China.
Oh, really?
I'm like, is that really how it works, that, Senator?
Apparently, and to what cost? And not only that, when you start the trade war, if I recall correctly, when this whole thing went down with Trump and his tariffs on China, there's retaliation. You know what I mean? Then they start doing some tariffs. I think it was a ginseng farmers in the state of Wisconsin. All of a sudden, well, we got to start subsidizing farming to a much greater degree than we were before to keep them whole, to make sure we can still have food on the tables.
It was like $30
billion. It was
like
$30 billion. And I remember how everyone was so upset
that not socialism?
About the auto bailout. But at least those were loans that got paid back. Donald Trump, in the midst of this tariff war with China, subsidized the U.S. farmers to the tune of $20 or $30 billion. That was just given away.
GM's alive, and Osama bin Laden is dead.
I think we have one more from J.D. Vance in Kenosha talking about his walls debate prep. If you would, please, Rich, let's play cut number six.
Well, I found a good friend from back home who embellishes and lies a lot, and I'm having him stand in for Tim Walz. That's what we're doing during our debate. But... look, what all kidding aside, what we're going to do is we're going to focus a lot on policy.
So what, you're doing your debate prep with the former president, Donald Trump, because that's a guy who's got how many? 30, 40,000 documented lies, and he cannot go to a press conference or a campaign rally without racking up a dozen, two dozen provable lies.
Well, they also talked about the fact that Tulsi Gabbard is actually joining the Trump campaign to help with the debate prep. He did brag a lot about the fact that he and his wife, when she was still his girlfriend, Usha, I believe, Mrs. Vance now Mrs. Vance, the first time they ever came to Wisconsin, you know what they did?
What?
They went to the Wisconsin Cheese Castle.
Yeah, come on.
No. I swear to God. And he said, my kids, when I got the call after he told his kid to shut the hell up,
yeah.
Apparently the most excited thing his kids were excited about, to go visit the Cheese Castle.
God love the Cheese Castle.
He said, have you been there? He's talking to his peanut gallery crowd and apparently the press. And he was very excited to tell them all about the Cheese Castle. And also, Eric Hudvey and Brian Staub, those candidates appeared with J.D. Vance today in the place that Foxconn forgot. He was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, telling us how great Trump was for industry
so
and manufacturing.
So good.
Come back, Devil's Advocates. Live in Chicago. I'm going to steal one of those bull hats later. Come back with us live at the DNC. Many more fine guests. And your text as well, 844-967-2789. Jeff asked, could we call what JD is doing the creepy, unwanted job shadowing? I think we could. More Devils.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
The Devil's Advocates radio show live at the DNC, the United Center in Chicago. Don, we got another fine guest. He's here at the table with us. He is Mandela Barnes. Mandela, I'm forgetting what your official title is, other than friend of the Devils.
Former lieutenant governor, perhaps?
That's a nice one.
I think that works as a title.
Former lieutenant governor, Mandela Barnes. Pleasure to see you.
LT forever, Mandela.
LT Emeritus.
So, LT Emeritus Barnes, let me ask you, first convention, man, what do you liken... What are you not liking about this convention?
It is my first convention. I'm liking it a whole lot. Certainly loving energy. It is a reunion, getting back to see a whole bunch of friends, you all included, chief among them, maybe.
Oh, thank you, Mandel.
So just getting to hang out, have
a good
time.
As long as we're on the first page somewhere, we're okay with that.
But seriously, having a good time, just reconnecting with folks and feeling the energy, feeling the vibe, and I truly feel like this is something special that's going on right now. Only thing I don't like is my bike got stolen yesterday.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I was bragging. I was on Maggie's show. I was bragging about my genius of bringing my bike down here because it's so easy to come.
You know, somebody from the Trump campaign did that.
Point
they were
A to
listening.
Point B of, like, you know, these 1.5 mile commutes on a bike is perfect.
Yep.
Which it was. But yeah,
no.
I'm going to go home one bike fewer than
you
I
know,
showed up with.
It's in J.D. Vance's airplane right now. Yeah. Someone from the campaign wanted to talk about the crime.
Yeah.
They were calling Chicago a battle zone.
Yeah.
That's what J.D. Vance.
That's wild.
He was in Kenosha today, and he called Chicago a battle zone. He said, you know, the only reason why they're doing the DNC down there is so Tim Walz can finally live the war zone experience he
wow.
talks about.
Oh, that is asinine.
And I'm thinking Trump and Vance don't need any Illinois voters. I realize they're going to lose this state. But still, you go and crap on every state that is blue, and apparently they do.
Hey, look, I mean, look, when you're scared, you say weird things.
Right.
And that's J.D. Vance. He's an afraid man.
Now, you've seen a lot of political campaigns. He is one of the worst candidates I've seen.
I
Mandela.
Promise you, like, I expected so much more. I said this before, he's doing a disservice to my generation. When he was picked out, there was some fear when he was picked as a nominee. It's like, oh man, this guy might bring it. As soon as he opened his mouth on stage at the RNC, I said, oh, okay, we're in there. We're good. We got a fighting chance still.
Well, and then it's the gift that keeps on giving, Mandela. It wasn't just that he opened his mouth at the RNC. It's that he's been recorded over the years saying absolutely racist, misogynist, terrible things.
He's a terrible speaker who says terrible things. There's no finesse. If you want it to work, you got to have some finesse. He doesn't have it.
Mandela, true or false? Mm-hmm. J.D. Vance probably had sex with that couch.
Oh. Look, I don't look. You know, as a political standard, what goes on in people's bedrooms is none of my business.
Or their living rooms, as the case may be.
Whatever room.
The fact that he is
people's intimacy is not of my concern.
But he has been so
none
weird.
Of your business.
None
right?
of my business.
I love the fact that you know Michelle Obama, who's going to speak tonight here at the DNC. What was her take? It's when they go low, we go high.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not that I'm going high on this one. I'm just avoiding the conversation.
But don't you think that tenor has changed a little bit? It was once upon a time the Republicans. Hillary Clinton was attacked so many times by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But she would talk policy. She wouldn't go to the gutter with him. She wouldn't say, okay, little Don, or whatever the case may be. She never went low.
Yeah.
And suddenly, and I'm not implying that Tim Walz is in the gutter, but Tim Walz is having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, Tim Walz is certainly having a lot of fun, and is rightfully so. I appreciate that he's doing it. He's still keeping it within bounds as well, because there's so much that is now in bounds, you know, comparatively speaking, to the depths that they go to. So even if what he said 10 years ago may have been a cause for controversy, it's not at this point. And as many wild things as Trump has said, as many wild things as J.D. Vance has said, to make fun of the choices that J.D. Vance makes in his own life, I don't, that's not unfair right now.
You know, it's interesting. I always thought Barack Obama a better man than pretty much any damn man I ever met in my life. He is better than me. I know he is.
Yeah.
Better dad, better politician, better everything. I want better people to run our country.
For sure. For sure.
Kamala Harris, I've met her. I find her to be incredibly intense, Mandela. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to interact with Kamala. Have you?
So my view of Kamala, years ago when it was only what I saw on TV, I thought she's very intense also. But having so many interpersonal interactions with her, she is such a personable person. I mean, I cannot tell you I enjoy being around her. She gives me a hard time sometimes. We've built a rapport. So she's somebody.
Is it the baldness thing, Mandela?
It could be, man.
That's my choice, isn't it? Mine less so.
It's not the Lord's choice. But, I think that she is truly a much more personable person than folks, give her credit for. And I remember being at a smaller dinner with her last fall. I probably shouldn't even be talking about this, but she asked for open and honest feedback from people. And, one of the things was the Kamala who's showing up to this dinner right now is who needs to show up, in front of, Americans on the TV screen, because that is what will take you to the presidency. And I think that she took that to heart, because more of it is starting to come out.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago. Former Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes, our friend. Thank you, Mandela. Great to see you. What I love about Kamala Harris is what I'm seeing now, as I think has been held back, perhaps, again, it was the Biden administration. She's in the Biden administration. The Biden administration will kind of dictate the schedule, let's call it. Now that this
I've been a number two before.
You know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. But now this is her game. This is her thing. And what's coming through, the joy, Mandela. I mean, I had no idea how much I missed that feeling, that energy. It was always so negative before, and it's tough to talk about, Trump and the doom scrolling. You know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, here comes this candidate who has just turned this whole thing in 180 degrees and talking about joy and talking about aspirational things, talking about service, and really, really contrasting not just philosophies between Democrats and MAGA, but between her and Donald Trump.
Yeah, about who we are as people.
Yeah.
What kind of world we want to live in? Who do we want to associate with? How do we want to build community with each other?
Mandela, you ran in a Senate race. Sorry to interrupt, Dom. Eric Hudvey. That guy's a terrible candidate, too, man. I don't know if you saw him at the Slinger Speedway trying to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, he is not ready for prime time, Mandela.
I did not see that. He's certainly not ready for prime time. It totally just pushes back the narrative about, being smart to make money.
Well, it's better to have rich parents.
That's rich parents.
Look at Trump. Look at Hudvey.
This is true.
If your parents are wealthy enough, it's hard to go broke.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem, Mandela. Our fine guest, Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor of the great state of Wisconsin. Mandela, you're political heroes, man. I got a few political heroes. I'm hoping to bump into a few media sorts and a few politician sorts. You got anyone you admire, anyone you might go and take a selfie with?
I've had the chance to meet them. I've had a chance to meet them. I've met Obama. That's certainly number one in terms of political heroes.
Any other names you'd like to drop for us? Dinnered with a Kamala.
Kamala.
You met Diamond Crude.
Did met you too.
Who else is on the list?
That's what I mean. Like, I've been fortunate to have met those political heroes already.
You know, there's a saying, never meet your heroes. Yeah. I don't get the sense that that's something you came away with.
I didn't spend that much time with me.
Yeah. Man, show any faults.
Yeah. No.
You spent enough time with us, so you see a few faults, don't you, Mandela?
The luster is worn off.
I can't believe that. It never wore off for me. I still like you. Mandela, the political campaign really kicks off after Labor Day.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you anticipate having a role this fall in the campaign? What is your role this fall? So what's your motive and what do you hope to do and get accomplished this
My role
fall?
Won't be directly with the Walz-Harris campaign, or excuse me, Harris-Walz campaign. Sweet Lord. My work is going to be with Power to the Polls, focused on civic engagement, voter turnout, telling stories, making sure people know what is at stake, how to combat voter disinformation, also how to combat voter suppression efforts. That's where my focus is going to be on the independent side.
I saw Angela Lang, sorry to interrupt Mandela, I saw Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Communities a few months ago. Very hard door knock. Mm-hmm. She said it's a difficult environment.
Yeah.
I've seen her since. Seems like her attitude's changed about knocking on the doors. Mandela, how's it going? Obviously, it takes money to fund operations like this. But how's the enthusiasm? Are you getting the volunteers? Are you getting the money? Are you getting the enthusiasm?
So, folks, way more people have been calling to volunteer. And, you know, I've said this one before. I've gotten texts from people who didn't even text me during my campaign who want to help out with, you know, Kamala's race. So folks are enthusiastic and excited. It's very real. It's easier to recruit volunteers, also easier to recruit organizers, and better responses on the doors already.
I got to tell you one very nice touch. Yeah. And we've known each other a few years, man. Every year on my birthday, you text me. Not like a Facebook, whatever. I get an actual text from Mandela Barnes. It's a personal touch.
It's real.
And it's probably the most memorable message, because Dom doesn't even bother. His birthday is like 2 days from mine. He's like, oh, it's almost my birthday. I can't even talk about your birthday. But I get a text from Mandela every year on June 12th, Dom.
You're a wonderful human being, Mandela.
I appreciate y'all, man.
We appreciate you too, man. The Trump campaign.
Your wife had a birthday, didn't she?
Yeah.
Thank you. Birthdays are important.
Good politician and a good friend. The Trump campaign claims that they have they're getting success from the outreach to the African American community. I heard Ron Johnson talking about going on a black radio in Milwaukee, and they're getting a
they're
great
the party of Lincoln, Mandela.
A great reception. As a young black man, Mandela, what's your sense of those kinds of statements coming out of the Republican Party?
Well, their idea of a great reception from the black community, given that they've probably had very few interactions with black people in general in regular life, if one person or two people say yes, then they consider that a success. And now I'm not going to make any I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm going to be very forthcoming in saying yes, there are challenges. There are a handful of, black males here and there, nowhere near a majority, not even close to it. But there are some people who are Trump curious, Republican curious, understand that. We're doing everything we can to combat that. Most of it is misinformation and disinformation. But for folks who have, never, gotten a date before, if they show up and somebody gives them the phone number, then all of a sudden they assume that they're, some sort of Casanova.
Well, and if some people are engaged, I mean, they may be misguided, and perhaps there's some additional information that could come to light. But at least those are folks that are already, trying to do something, trying to be engaged, and at least folks that would potentially be able to come out and vote for a different team if, the more new information comes to light.
Yeah.
The National Association of Black Journalism journalists interview with Donald Trump, I thought was just continue more telling of how this man is. If he's in a corner, if he's being contested by anyone, especially a strong black woman or a strong woman in general, it is nasty. Everyone's nasty.
Yep.
And I think, again, that contrast to what the Kamala Harris campaign is about, joy and about hope and about service and what can we do, what kind of country do we want to live in, it's really, really difficult for me to kind of feel how someone could be on the fence between those kinds of messages and philosophies and contrasts to say, well, yeah, I want to be with the anger and the chaos and the hatred versus what else other people are talking about?
Yeah, I mean, he has made his entire political career off being, you know, just spewing bile, like just being one of the worst people, and it's brought out the worst in many other people in our society. And I hate that it's gotten that way, but I truly believe that more people are over it than people who are willing to go along with it.
Mandela, yeah. Is the American dream dead?
Nope. Nope.
Do you think we will see this ticket, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? Will she inspire a new vision of an American dream, if that makes sense?
I am certainly hoping so, and I'm going to work hard as I can to make that happen.
Former Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Wisconsin, still, I hope, friend of the Devil's For Advocates. Sure. Although, you know, well, they say, I won't even go there. Mandela Barnes, thanks for putting up with us, man. Really appreciate your company
appreciate
and your time.
Man.
Nice
Mandela.
To see you.
Hey, good to
folks,
see you.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates live at the DNC in Chicago, Illinois. We're going to make way for the wrap-up show at 6 o'clock, hosted by Todd Alba and Terry Bell. And then at 7, we got Bill Press joining us. We're going to be doing all the speeches, all the coverage from here until Barack Obama later tonight. Kamala Harris in Milwaukee. We've seen some pictures. Man, that place is a rock concert, and it's hours before they go off. More Devil's Advocates. Come on back live at the DNC. Dom and Crute and you. Bring me a
higher. The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago. Find us on the Twitters at Devil Radio and, of course, on the Facebook at Devil's Advocates Radio.
Dom, I'm going to thank our fine guest list right now before I forget because there's been a lot. It's been a fine show. I want to thank John Fugelsang, our friend from SiriusXM. I want to thank our own Earl Ingram from Civic Media. Listen, 8 to 10 a.m. on WAUK 540, catch Earl's show, or check your local listings. He might be playing in your market as well. The fine Attorney General, great state of Wisconsin, Josh Call, joined us here. Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. My senator, Diane Hesselbein from Middleton, Wisconsin. She is the Senate Minority Leader, great state of Wisconsin. We had pollster Paige Gardner from PSG Consulting. Mandela Barnes, most recently, thank you to Mandela. I feel like I'm still forgetting people. Still. And let's
not
forget.
But wait, there's more.
Ginzu Knives and Bill Press tonight at 7 o'clock joining us as we shift seats down. We slide over to WCPT side and we anchor the live coverage all night long. We're going to try and do a little bit of Kamala in Milwaukee, and I've seen some pictures. Maddie from WRPQ and Civic Media is there today, and she was taking pictures. Jorge is up in the nosebleeds as well. It was packed in the Fiserv Forum at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
There's crowds gathering. It's a
thousands
huge crowd,
of people
huge
outside.
Lines outside of the forum.
It is going to be a party, and our understanding is Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will give their speeches, and then the Obamas are going to be featured. It's going to be a watch party. And we're going to bring it all to you right here on the radio, WCPT 820 AM, KTNF 950 AM, and of course, across the Civic Media Network in the great state of Wisconsin. Dom, it's going to be a hell of a good time. I hope you all tune
keep
in.
Listening and stick around. Some of the highlights from last night, Crudy, AOC. You know, it's I find it very interesting. You know, we're sitting here, we're watching it, we're listening to it. But, you know, then I sleep on it. I get up the next day, and I'm reading some of the headlines, some of the articles, and looking at some of the video. It's like, you know, AOC really lit it up last night.
She's a rising star. Let's play some of that sound in case you didn't stay up late last night. We got AOC talking about Trump, the union buster.
Scab.
Rich, if you would, please play Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Cut 9, please.
Two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day.
The passion she brought to that stage, man, she was fired up. She was gesticulating, and she was dynamic. Young rising star of the Democratic Party. I think everybody knows that.
Well, and she was throwing.
But she was great last
She was throwing time. Daggers that were hitting the mark. I think she, the words that were coming out of her mouth were resonating with me, certainly. One more from AOC. Cut 10, please, Rich.
Donald Trump would sell this country for a dollar if it meant lining his own pockets and greasing the palms of his Wall Street friends.
You preach it, sister.
This is for real. Hillary Rodham Clinton also last night, she had some knocks on Trump as well, talking about the convictions. Again, a worthy...
She was just telling the truth.
No, and Trump's losing his mind. Let's hear what the secretary had to say. Cut number 11.
Donald Trump fell asleep at his own trial. And when he woke up, he made his own kind of history. The first person to run for president with 34 felony convictions.
And at that point, the crowd here in Chicago last night interrupted Hillary. Lock him up. Lock him up. The chance it had him. She basked in it for just a moment.
I mean, maybe
just a moment.
Maybe a moment longer than she should have, but you know, you can totally understand wanting to drink from that well for just a tad. A couple more from Clinton. Cut number 12, please, Rich.
I want my grandchildren and their grandchildren to know I was here at this moment, that we were here, and that we were with Kamala Harris every step of the way. This is our time, America.
And the Dems, the DNC, they got him, Trump, on the run. Cut number 13, please.
He is lying about Kamala's record. He's mocking her name and her laugh. Sounds familiar.
Does.
Right?
But we have him on the run now.
Running on empty. A couple from the president, Joe Biden, talking about the economy. Again, I think this is important to highlight the president, his record on
the
economy.
It was his night last night.
It was. Cut number 14, please, Rich.
Jobs, record small business growth, record high stock market, record high 401ks, wages up, inflation down, way down, and continuing to go down.
Yes, those are things. Those are facts, Republicans. You could repeat them if you wanted to. Let's jump down to cut number 16. Trump never built a thing.
Donald Trump promised Infrastructure Week every week for 4 years, and he never built a damn thing.
Yeah. Let's do one more, two more. Cut number 17, Kamala's choice.
Selecting Kamala was the very first decision I made when I became our nominee. And it was the best decision I made my whole career.
It was a good one, but he made one more to step aside. Cut number 18.
It's been the honor of my lifetime to serve as your president. I love the job, but I love my country more.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. The crowd ended the evening chanting last night, thank you, Joe. Look, the Wisconsinites on the TV now in the bowl wearing their cheese heads, as has become the tradition. Damn, I should have brought my cheese head down. Thank you all for listening. Stick around. Todd Alba and Terry Bell do a wrap-up live from the DNC next.